fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Today with Pat Gray and Jeff Fisher. Glenn's on vacation. Stu's on vacation. Stu will be back sometime next week. Glenn will be back a week from Monday. And so we've got a lot to cover today. There's a lot of stuff going on. And our phone number, 888-727-BECK, if you'd like to participate in the show today. We'll tell you about President Trump's immigration reform in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Every 2 seconds, there's a victim of identity theft, which means a criminal could be spending your money, applying for loans in your name, even damaging your credit, the good credit you've worked so hard to build. Fortunately, you could miss certain threats to your identity just by checking bank statements or monitoring your credit. That's why it's a good thing there is LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to detect and alert you to a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if you do have an issue involving identity theft, one of LifeLock's identity restoration specialists will work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but with LifeLock, you get identity theft protection and additional features to help protect your devices against cyber threats. Starting at the already discounted price of $9.99 a month, plus an extra 10% off your first year, just go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and enter the promo code BECK. Promo code BECK, 10% off, 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
It's Pat and Jeffy today for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. President Trump kind of went through his proposal for immigration reform yesterday. Here's some of what he discussed. Do we have that?
Our plan achieves two critical goals. First, it stops illegal immigration and fully secures the border. And second, it establishes a new legal immigration system that protects American wages, promotes American values, and attracts the best and brightest from all around the world. Importantly, we're already building the wall, and we should have close to 400 miles built by the end of next year, and probably even more than that. It's going up very rapidly. Every year, we admit 1.1 million immigrants as permanent legal residents. These green card holders get lifetime authorization to live and work here, and a five-year path to American citizenship. This is the most prized citizenship anywhere in the world, by far.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got that part right, that's for sure. And for him to say that we want the best and brightest, how dare he? Seriously, the Democrats are taking issue with that.
I know.
They don't want the best and brightest. Hey, we've had a long record of bring us your poorest, your destitute. We want only people who are... have clothes that are ragged and no skills and that can't speak English. That's what we want here.
And some states are getting them.
I mean,
California,
we're getting them.
The governor is pardoning, you know, felons.
Yes.
So, yeah. There you go.
As far as whether the border wall is already being built, I don't know. I see conflicting reports on that they haven't started yet or they've barely started.
Over 400 miles.
But he claims 400 miles by next year. That'd be great.
And maybe more.
And maybe more.
Okay.
If that's true, that's great.
I hope it is.
I hope it is, too. I hope it is. But much of this proposal, I think, is really good. As he said, right now, about 12% of immigrants are admitted based on employment and skills. So about 12% of immigration right now in the United States is merit-based. How can we be expected to continue that rate?
I don't know.
It's insane.
I don't know.
66% are admitted based on family connections. Why? And that to Democrats, that's a good thing.
Yes. Once you're in, I mean, that's the point, right? Once you're in, then the rest can come.
So if you have a second cousin twice removed in Manawa, Niarawa, come on in. Yeah,
it's all yours.
Bring them up.
Come on.
Bring them up.
I'm in.
Well, my mailman has a friend whose uncle wants to bring him in.
Bring
Come
him
on in.
In.
That's kind of the way it's sort of the way it's done now.
I know.
Now the administration wants to flip those numbers. So it will be 57% based on merit, 33% based on family connections. That makes more sense. That's probably still not maybe not even the right formula, but it makes more sense than what we currently have.
But of course, that's bad.
Oh, of course, it's bad. To the Democrats, it's absolutely catastrophic. So we want to recruit top talent. Microsoft is continually saying we don't have enough to fill the positions that need to be filled in technology. So good, let's flip it around and let's bring more skilled people into the United States. I do like the focus on, first of all, securing the border. And he did talk about that, and that's a really important part of the plan. But also focusing on legal immigration.
Yes.
We want to stop the illegal flow, and we want to bring here people here that want to do things the right way, and we'll add something to the country. Every nation on earth asks something of the people who are trying to immigrate there. All right, what are you going to bring to us? What are you going to do for us? It's a legitimate question. It's an important question. You can't just say, okay, come here and we'll do everything for you that we possibly can. That's not the way it's supposed to work. It's just the way it has been working.
Sure has.
And, I mean, working. I use that word loosely. So, supposedly, the average yearly wage of legal immigrants right now is $43,000. This, if we go to this system, supposedly, they would then increase the average income to $126,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And the average yearly wage of all immigrants would rise to around $96,000. How could you not want that for the people that are immigrating?
No kidding.
How could you not want that? No, I'm sorry. I want them to continue to make $7 an hour, and I'm going to fight this tooth and nail every step of the way. No! How could you not want that? And the thing is, and we should have been talking about this from the beginning, when they come the way they do, and you don't ask anything of them, and you don't encourage them to learn the language because that's somehow hateful, that's somehow racist, that's somehow xenophobic.
I mean, we're in trouble for encouraging them even just to have rudimentary knowledge of English.
Exactly. Yeah. And so they stay at the bottom rung of society, and there's nowhere they can go. Because if you speak only Spanish or Norwegian or German or whatever it is when you come here, you're not going to succeed in America. You have to learn English in order to get up the social ladder and the employment ladder. It's mandatory, really. If you don't, you're going to be stuck in a crappy job your entire life here. Why would you want that for them? I don't. So you encourage them to learn the language. And when you do, they can have a chance to succeed here.
I'm all for them making $100,000 a year.
Me too. I think that's great. But Democrats don't, because then they're not dependent on the Democrats. If they start making $126,000 a year, they don't need the Democrats when they're handouts. So they don't want this. They do not want this. So President Trump trying to end the chain migration situation. He's frequently called for an end to the visa lottery program. Something this seeks to do. It'd be replaced by a new Build America visa program that would recognize extraordinary talent and people with professional and specialized vocations, including exceptional students. What the plan doesn't do, though, is cut back on immigration at all.
Right.
And that would be a nice component to this. Limit, you know, a little bit more than we do now, because we allow, what, 1 million a year legally? And then another 1.2 million are coming in illegally this year? That's unacceptable. So we're going to have immigration at a rate of 2 to 2.5 million every year? I don't think that's sustainable.
It can't be.
So the plan doesn't deal with that. It also doesn't deal with people who are already here illegally, including the Dreamers. But President Trump said it does close loopholes so that gang members and criminals are inadmissible, and it would stop frivolous asylum claims. one of the things they're proposing, and I think this is really good, you can't claim asylum at the border. Sorry, you got to go to an embassy or a consulate for that.
I'm okay with that.
That I think that's imperative because when you're at the border, how do we know that you're here claiming asylum, right, that you're in danger in your home country? We don't.
No way to know.
But if you go to a consulate in Guatemala or Honduras or wherever you're from, you know, you can look into it then. Go to the embassy. Do it there.
Yeah.
Every country on earth just about has an American embassy or consulate. And that's the right way to do it. So
it does seem that is the wise thing to do. Just keep, if you're in trouble in your country, come to us for help.
Right.
And if it's for real, we'll help you.
Well, and they, you know, a lot of this is, well, I'm afraid of gangs. Well, then, you know, people in Los Angeles be claiming asylum all the time. And New York and every large city in America, because they're afraid of gangs as well. There's plenty of gang activity in America. Can Americans claim asylum from it? No.
No.
So I don't know that we allow that. Asylum is supposed to be from oppression from the government. And so it's really tough to ascertain when you're here at the border that you've been through that. So that's one of the things we need to deal with. Also, there was no mention of the E-Verify program.
Right.
So that's an issue as well. So some, apparently, because of those two things, the lack of reducing immigration and no E-Verify, so some conservatives aren't necessarily for this. But it's not, I mean, this is just a proposal, I think. This is just kind of a framework.
This, right. I mean, this is we've got to do something, and here you right. go. Let's get this thing started.
Right. And where's your proposal, Democrats? Let's see it. Just Ollie Ollie All Comfrey is not a really good immigration plan right now. And that's all the Democrats offer is everybody come on in.
Well, it's because they hate Trump. So whatever Trump doesn't wants to try to limit, no, we don't.
And when you look back on the way they used to feel about this, you can't help but think that's true. Because right. they were all against just allowing the border to be wide open.
Right.
They talked about it. They voted for it. They voted for the fence in 2006 and in the 1990s. In fact, they were pretty hardcore about it. They sounded like conservatives back in the 90s.
Yes, they did. That's how far we've come.
We've come a long way.
A long way.
Yeah.
Wow.
888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There's a real war against Christians in America. Christians and even Jews are facing violence for their faith. Now, David Horowitz's new bestseller, Dark Agenda, reveals the secret efforts to destroy Christianity. In Congress, the media, even in our schools and military. David Horowitz is Jewish and a famous conservative, but he warns of a new persecution against Christians. President Trump is fighting back to keep us free, but Dark Agenda exposes the dangers to him and our way of life. Newsmax calls Dark Agenda a shocking expose, and Tucker Carlson calls Dark Agenda a disturbing but vital book. Mike Huckabee is urging all Christians to get this book. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Find out why everyone is talking about Dark Agenda. Get it at bookstores everywhere, or check out the free offer and save almost $27. Go online today to darkagenda911.com. That's darkagenda911.com, or call toll-free 800-NEWSMAX and get your free copy.
Here's how bad things are at the border, just to give you an idea. They're deploying the TSA to the border.
Wait, what?
That's how bad it is. The TSA headed for the border. We're redeploying some of them.
I would rather have them feeling up the immigrants across the border.
That'll stop it in a hurry. Okay, you want to cross the border, you're going to get felt up by the TSA. Okay.
Okay, if you're Tony Romo or not.
Yeah, that'll shut it right down. Department of Homeland Security retasking hundreds of TSA employees to the U.S.-Mexico border to assist with the frontline immigration process in an effort to relieve some of the pressure on Customs and Border Patrol. Wow. And ICE. CNN reports 175 of the TSA's law enforcement officials and up to 400 of its security ops personnel, including a number of air marshals, are being sent to the southern border to help with efforts to deal with the immigrant flow. Wow. They're expected to commit up to 10% of their workforce to border security.
So
I've never heard of this before.
What's happening? Does that mean longer lines at the airports?
Oh, I hope so, because that'll just really be convenient for us.
Because nobody travels in the summer anyway.
No, that's
coming
right.
Up on summertime break.
That's right.
Nobody goes anywhere.
There is now an immediate need for more help from the TSA at the southwest border, according to a TSA spokesperson. TSA is committed to support 400 people from security ops who will be deployed in waves, similar to how they're deployed in an emergency situation. TSA at the border.
Wow,
now it's fixed. Now it's fixed.
They're asking, this is just on volunteers for now, though. It claims that they're just asking people, you know, if you could volunteer to go to the border. So I'm sure that the TSA members are jumping all over themselves.
Who wouldn't want to do that? Go to the hot,
be deployed,
sticky Texas border summer.
I can work at DFW
or at the air-conditioned airport. Oh, it's a tough choice.
What can I do?
Send me to the border. I really let me be out there with the mosquitoes and the flies and people throwing rocks at me. Yeah. I think I'll go to the border. Yeah, that's not going to work.
Sounds like fun.
That's not going to work.
I don't know. I mean, I guess what comes next is just mandatory, right? You're going.
Yeah.
Your government employees, you're going.
I would think so.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Unless you volunteered.
Unless they choose to do the National Guard again or some other agency, some other group. Who I don't know. 888-727-BECK.
TSA people are scary.
Yeah, they are. They can be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This will fix it. Because not only are they scary, but they're so efficient. Jeffy, I think we've all found that, haven't we?
Very much so, yes.
They've ingratiated themselves to Americans for years now, and I think once they get to the border, you don't have a problem anymore. Speaking of problems at the border, a Dallas man previously arrested in the death of an 81-year-old woman has been charged with killing at least 11 more elderly women whose jewelry and other valuables he stole. Spokesman for the Dallas County District Attorney's Office said the 46-year-old Billy Chimmerer was indicted on 6 more counts of capital murder and the deaths of women ranging in age from 76 to 94.
The dirtbag.
So he's a Kenyan citizen living in the United States illegally, and he's a serial killer. But don't worry about that. These are just good, decent, hard-working family people. There's nothing to worry about. Wow.
That's amazing.
What does it take? I mean, I don't know what it's going to take.
I don't know. I mean, look,
get the Democrats to be serious about this.
I mean, I mentioned Gavin Newsom, you know, in California, he's pardoning felons and, you know, including two that were up for deportation. He's saying, oh, no, you're fine. You stay here. I mean, I don't know what can be done. Well, and I don't know what you have to do. Obviously, you know, this is probably, I hope, too far. And we're going to do something.
You would hope.
Yeah.
You would like to think that there is level.
There's a line
of criminality where they say, okay, yeah, maybe. Instead, what they say, well, the American citizens are killing people too.
Right.
Well, yeah, but yeah. We've got enough of that, don't we? Without having Kenya's killers here as well.
Yeah, but he hasn't killed 20. So.
He may have, because they said it might be more than 11 or 12 now. 12 elderly women. Mean,
disgusting.
Really, really, really horrible. From 76 years old to 94 years old. Really sad.
Really sad.
But you don't hear anything about it. Nobody's...
Nope.
CNN's not talking about it. MSNBC's not talking about it. I don't know that I've even seen that story on Fox. And it, you know, it's kind of an important one.
Yeah.
These are a few of the people we'd like to prevent from coming into the country illegally. Okay?
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it would.
That'd be nice.
It's just...
And while I get it, we can't prevent all of this from not coming into the country, we can certainly attempt to do better than we have been.
Yeah, that's been President Trump's theme all along. Is we can do better than this. We can prevent some of these with the wall. We can prevent some of these by paying attention to who it is that we allow to come in. Why would you just allow everybody's family members to come into the country? It doesn't make any sense.
Makes so zero sense.
Let's ask something of them. Like, I don't know, what skill do you have? What are you gonna what job do you have lined up? Where are you gonna live? So it just makes sense. This is it's a pretty good start on immigration reform. And it doesn't include amnesty, which is a pretty good step in the right direction as well. But I think if the Democrats were to propose a plan, it would just go back to the same thing, the comprehensive immigration reform they've been talking about. They just want the Dreamers to all be here legally. They just want a path to citizenship for everybody else that's here, for the 11 to 20 or 25 million that are here illegally. And they'll just make the problem worse. So this is a good start from the president. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed and Jeff Fisher from Chewing the Fat. For Glenn, today and all next week here on the Glenn Beck Program. Hey, it's Pat Gray and Jeff Fisher for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. We've been talking about this migration reform and that it's a pretty good start. And so something else that was surprising that just came out was the Zogby poll they just did on President Trump. His job approval rating. Now, this isn't Rasmussen. Rasmussen's poll has been really favorable to President Trump really the entire time during the campaign, right, and all during his presidency. It's maybe 5 to 10 points sometimes higher than any of the other polls. But this poll is from Zogby. And it shows him at 51% approval.
Wow.
Which is higher than Obama's approval rating at the same time of his presidency at 48%. But this is the most surprising part of it. The majority of millennials, 18 to 29-year-olds, approve of the president. 51% of millennials approve of the job he's doing.
Wow.
You would never guess that.
No, you would not. It's got to be just because they're all working, right?
Maybe.
Everybody's got jobs.
And in the 25 to 34-year-old age group, 53% approval.
Wow.
35 to 54, 59%. And a slim minority of women, 48%. So, I mean, he's got good numbers across the board. 48% of suburban voters approved of his job performance. And 60% of rural voters approved.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to bring you down, Pat.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, far be it from me. But I'm just saying that it's possible, you know, tariffs are coming.
Oh, boy. That is true. The tariffs will hurt.
You know, they're all we've got.
When prices kick into gear.
Already telling us, be ready.
Oh, yeah.
Prices are going up.
When you go to Walmart and you see those Chinese, everything coming in from China, good luck.
I know.
That's going to skyrocket.
So, I mean, I know. I get it's a battle we have to have. I understand it. I understand the process.
I don't know that we have to have that.
Well, according to the... Mm-hmm. According to the...
The president.
The president and people around him, that's a battle we have to have.
Mm-hmm.
But when... I think when those prices start going through the roof, man, people are going to... Wait. Do we have to have this battle?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to hurt. It will hurt. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to Jeff in Florida. Jeff, hi. You're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Doing well.
Good. Been a fan for a long time. Appreciate the conservative viewpoint. I'm a conservative myself. Not really much of a Republican anymore, but
yeah.
Still conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I had a different take on the immigration issue with the chain migration versus the merit base.
Right.
Oh. And I'm looking at this from 2 points. As a parent, I got 3 kids that, you know, I got my fingers crossed that they all get through college and have professional careers.
Mm-hmm.
When they do that and they're strapped with student loans and everything else, I don't want them displaced by somebody from India or whatever because it was more efficient or cheaper to hire, you know, high-skilled help from another country. That's one issue. But on the other end of it, taking away the family migration, I think kind of we're shooting ourselves in the foot. If you look at immigration in the past, the immigrants that come over and start at the bottom end of the economic ladder, and then they work like crazy to get their mom here, or their sister, or their brother, or their cousin, or whatever, they tend to have a lot of upward mobility. And they set a really good example. And let's face it, most of the immigrants we're talking about here are Hispanic. So they're coming in with a real family-oriented culture, real Christian values, and to bring their family members in and to form that family unit and promote those values in the community, I think does us a lot more service than ignoring the input that immigration labor has done, you know, for our working class in the past, and, you know, creating that upward mobility. I just think it's important. Plus, immigrants that come here without family connections, what loyalty are they going to have to this country? None.
Based on the number of flags that are flown from Mexico, Central and South America, I don't know how much loyalty they have to the United States now. Based on what I've seen from living in Texas, in Houston for 8 years, and now 7 in Dallas, I don't see a lot of loyalty to this country. Their loyalty is pretty split.
And if the percentages are right, still, we're saying, what, 33% or something like that, and with the family base would still be available? That's still probably the amount that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. I agree with what you're saying. I just don't know that those numbers represent what you think they do.
And I'm not sure there's a lot of upward mobility for them either, because many of them don't learn English and they kind of stay in the low paying jobs, you know, the hard labor jobs.
I live in Southwest Florida, and my kids go to school here, and they have a lot of, you know, friends that are either first or second generation immigrants that have been at the house before. And what I see from their friends, and this is anecdotal, but is a really strong, some really strong families with strong family values, and when they have birthday parties, cousins and everybody's over, and that's who I see immigrating to South Florida, is a lot of families, a lot of really Christian families with some good solid values, and I just don't see why bringing in a computer guy from India to take my son's job away is going to help this country, but letting the guy come in and rake my lawn for $5 an hour so he can get his brother here is going to do harm. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I mean, appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Jeff. If you want to keep going with the status quo and you think that everything's great with immigration now, then I guess you keep going with the status quo. I don't think the status quo has been very great, though. I don't think we're doing a service to those who are immigrating here. You know, it's just to not encourage them to develop skills and to learn this language and to assimilate, because they don't really. They don't assimilate as a rule. And so I'm not sure that's the ideal situation. Maybe in Florida it's different.
I don't know. I think Florida is probably about the same as it is here in Texas.
In South Florida, you're probably getting more from Cuba than you are Mexico, Central and South America.
Well, Southeast, he was in Southwest, so, you know, maybe different. But, yes, that is true overall. But, you know, I think the main focus really should be just illegal immigration right now. I'm okay with just leaving the numbers with legal immigration the way they are if we can stop illegal immigration.
That should be the main focus,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Because illegal immigration isn't helping anybody. And that has to be curtailed. And we've done nothing to curtail it.
Well, I mean,
for 40, 50, 60 years.
Right. But now, I mean, we're sending the TSA down there now. So
that's right.
It's better.
That's right. I almost forgot. We had that good news.
Don't even start with me now.
Seriously, as soon as they start getting felt up at the border, they're not coming here in those numbers anymore. If they hate that like I do at the airport, they're not coming anymore. So we got that going for us.
Take your belt off, put your hands up. What?
The TSA. They're just, wow.
Fine organization.
They really are.
A fine organization.
They really are. 888-727-BECK. Yesterday, there was an interesting interview on The View. with Howard Stern about Donald Trump. And I think this is fascinating and really telling on a couple of different levels. But here's what the View ladies were asking Howard Stern about concerning Donald Trump on the View.
The highlight of the interviews of Trump, in my opinion, is this phenomenal fight he gets into on the air with AJ Benza, the gossip column.
Uh-huh.
And they, it was unbelievable. That's they start thing. Yelling at each other. And what are they fighting over? A woman.
Trump, of course.
AJ had a girlfriend, and Trump was having sex with her. Oh. And Trump was on the air bragging that he stole AJ's girl and that he was better sexually than AJ. Now, this is radio fireworks.
Yeah. No doubt.
And he's like, raiding
no
women.
Doubt.
Yes. Rating women.
Yes. Rating women.
Like, why is Trump rating women from 1 to 10?
He is rating
Donald
women
Trump.
Because he's so hot sexually. He's so good looking that
exactly.
he has earned the right
to rate women.
Oh, my
now.
God. I've seen it.
He's,
oh, my God.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Forward.
There's a lot to notice there. First of all, the View gaggle jumping on Trump for this
yes.
segment on Stern's show. While Stern gets a total pass, he's not held accountable at all. So that's so typical. They don't really care about the women. They care about bashing Republicans and especially yeah. Donald Trump. That's what they care about. So apparently, I don't know Howard Stern, but he's changed quite a
yes,
bit.
Yes, he has
over the years. But nobody has disrespected women more than Howard Stern over the years. Yeah. But again, I mean, give the guy credit for changing.
Yeah.
Because apparently he's done that. In fact, he had Glenn on the show. Remember this? A
yeah.
couple of years ago. And we were blown away with how well he treated him.
Yeah.
It was great.
And he even said...
He's really fair with Glenn.
Part of this interview with the gaggle that, you know, how he... there were things that he... I don't know that he used regret, but he just, it changed, you know, the way
yeah.
he's interviewed people and the way
yeah.
the show has been and the way things have happened. So, I mean, he definitely has recognized it and worked hard to change it.
And he was great with Glenn. And as we all know, Glenn is 93% woman.
Right.
So he,
right.
he there was a lot of respect there, it seemed.
Has he gone up in manhood? Because it's, I thought it was.
It might be more like 96
okay.
or 97%. Right. The other thing is. While Howard says that he goes on to say on the show that he likes Obama and Hillary and he voted for both of them. I mean, whatever. But he obviously has a soft spot for Trump, too.
Oh, yes.
He likes him. I think he genuinely likes Donald Trump. And he does a nice job here of deflecting the vitriolic hatred of the View gaggle with some humor that, you know, he's so hot. He's earned the right to rate women. And the other thing is, years ago, he would have absolutely categorically claimed that Hillary not coming on his show was the reason she wasn't elected. He actually says.
Yes, he does.
I'm not saying she would have been in this particular clip later on. I'm not saying she would have won the election. But she didn't come on the show.
And she didn't win. That's all I'm saying.
And she didn't win. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason. But years ago, he would have said that was the reason.
Yes.
So, kind of an interesting interview there. And I love how the View women say nothing about Howard Stern's part in the rating of women and the things they discussed. And it was all on Trump. All on Trump.
Oh, of course.
To me, again, that just shows they don't care about the women. They just care about bashing Republicans and Donald Trump. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Pat Gray and Jeffy. Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed, which you can hear immediately before this show on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. And then there's Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher, which happens pretty much anytime you want it to, because... What time do you normally post the podcast?
The podcast posts at 5:30 Central, 6:30 Eastern, every day, Monday through Friday.
Time is that Norwegian, like in Norway, and like in Oslo, if I want to listen.
1:30 a.m.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right.
Let's
go to Leonard in... Yeah, I knew that. And so did everybody else, Jeffy. Leonard in Virginia. Hi. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Love your show, dude. Y'all
Thank
do
you.
A great job.
Appreciate it.
One thing a lot of people haven't thought about, everything that you're buying in Walmart for the next 6 or 7 months was bought from China over here last April, and it's been sitting in Walmart warehouse and distribution centers.
Right.
So the price of a tariff shouldn't affect us
for a while.
At least six to seven, 8 months.
Yeah.
It's just like the price of gas. It's in a gas tank at the gas station, but when the powers to be say the price of gas went up,
yep.
the price of gas in the tank goes up.
It sure does.
Exactly
yes, does.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You buy a loaf of bread today, and 2 days from now, the price of wheat goes up 2 or 3 cents a bushel. They shouldn't come to your house and knock on the door and say, you owe me a nickel.
Well, if you purchased it already, they don't. But if you go to the store, they will.
A lot of people have not, you know, they don't understand that this stuff has been sitting in a warehouse.
Yeah.
And it's very simple. My whole family was military. My whole family has covered all 5 military services. All of them. We all came home without a scratch. We've all worked our butts off to make America great. We worked in textile. We worked in Goodyear making tires. We've done it all. I retired from the Department of Corrections. We've worked hard. But here's the problem. Pick it up and look and see where it's made. And if it's not made in America, put it back on the shelf. It's that simple. I mean, my whole family, all of our relatives, your family, they need jobs.
Yeah.
So why would you go buy something made in Bangladesh?
I mean, I know. That's easy to say.
It is.
It's easy to say, Leonard.
Yeah. It's harder to do because the reason you won't do that is because the one that's made in America is going to cost you more. And that's why you put the thing that's made in Bangladesh in the cart and go purchase it. But I understand what you're saying, Leonard.
I do too.
And thank you and your family for your service.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. But yeah, it's hard to do.
I wish I had the discipline for that.
It's hard to do. If we all committed to it,
yes.
It would be great. We're just not going to. That's the unfortunate. Bill O'Reilly, coming up next.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed, Jeff Fisher from Chewing the Fat, we are going to speak with Bill O'Reilly about any number of things. Including Donald Trump and his plan on immigration. We'll get into that coming up in a second in about 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There's a real war against Christians in America. Christians and even Jews are facing violence for their faith. Now, David Horowitz's new bestseller, Dark Agenda, reveals the secret efforts to destroy Christianity. In Congress, the media, even in our schools and military. David Horowitz is Jewish and a famous conservative, but he warns of a new persecution against Christians. President Trump is fighting back to keep us free, but Dark Agenda exposes the dangers to him and our way of life. Newsmax calls Dark Agenda a shocking expose, and Tucker Carlson calls Dark Agenda a disturbing but vital book. Mike Huckabee is urging all Christians to get this book. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Find out why everyone is talking about Dark Agenda. Get it at bookstores everywhere, or check out the free offer and save almost $27. Go online today to darkagenda911.com. That's darkagenda911.com. Or call toll-free 800-NEWS-MAX and get your free copy.
Glenn's taking a little time for vacation, as is Stu, so Pat and Jeffy here. And let's say hello to Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. Hey, Bill.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Doing well. You?
I'm the same, which is a tragedy for everyone.
Your latest column at BillO'Reilly.com talks about how due process is dead in America, whether it's Brett Kavanaugh hearings or with President Trump and the Mueller report. Tell us about that.
Well, it's the media's fault in a sense that you are done if anyone on the planet files an allegation against you and you're a famous person.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're finished. There's no, oh, well, maybe he didn't do it. Maybe there's an agenda on why this is happening. So the real horrible lawyers and ideologues know that now. So they target people for allegations. That's mm-hmm. number one is what's happening. So every corporation in America now is a battery of lawyers they have to pay to fend this stuff off. You don't hear about 90% of it. And now you have lawyers advertising on radio and television and billboards. And if somebody did something to you, you call us and we'll get you millions of dollars. Okay. The second thing about the due process is the disgraceful performance of some U.S. senators in the Kavanaugh hearings. Now, I don't have any problem with grilling a Supreme Court nominee. It has to be done. But these people flat out said, oh, you're guilty of something you did in high school, even though we don't have a shred of evidence and nothing has emerged since. You're guilty. You did it. You and your family should be disgraced. Yep. Mm-hmm. That was Kamala Harris. That was Cory Booker. That was Dianne Feinstein, who behind the scenes actually engineered this whole thing
to
her everlasting disgrace. Mm-hmm. And so when you have that combination of elected political officials who do not recognize due process combined with the media, you're in trouble. And I think the country's in trouble.
Is there anything we can do to stem that tide?
I don't know. I mean, individual Americans, I think if you ask them and they just listen to what my explanation was, would say, yeah, O'Reilly's right. Because this could happen to me or my son or daughter or my husband or whatever.
Yeah, it's frightening.
And now I'm going to have to go out and pay $200,000 to an attorney to defend me against charges that are fallacious. The whole thing stems around the affidavits. If you file something against someone, you have to sign an affidavit under perjury. But the system does not prosecute that. So therefore, it's a free fire zone. You can lie about anybody. You can say anything you want. And the media, I think the media is basically falling apart in America. I don't think people know how bad it is. We see the surveys and the polls that 70% of Americans don't trust the media. But I watch cable news ratings every night. I see network news ratings, what's happening in the morning and late night. I did it on BillO'Reilly.com. We did a segment last night on the collapse of late night viewership across the board on the three networks. Nobody watches those shows anymore. And I think that people are saying enough. And that's what you can do. I mean, if you are an American and you see something unfair, do not watch the network that's doing it and fire off a letter to the senator. Won't matter, but at least you're doing something.
Yeah, right. It's really tough because as conservatives, we have that mindset where I'm not going to participate in a boycott. I'm not going to get out on the streets and protest. Whereas the left does all that kind of stuff, and it's really effective.
It has been effective.
So we kind of just have ceded all of that to them, and we sort of sit back and take it every time somebody's wrongly accused or
yeah. But here's the deal: you're right. The right in America doesn't have an organized media matters or move mm-hmm. on or power of change or color of this or they don't have that. All right.
And listen to all that you just listed off. I mean, they've got so many of those organizations.
And these organizations have millions of dollars, all right, to mobilize boycotts, to threaten sponsors, to do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of that money comes from the George Soros Foundation, as people probably know. So they have millions of dollars to go smear people, threaten people, intimidate people, extort people. Nothing like that exists on the right. But I'm telling Americans that it shouldn't. You don't get down in the mud with these people. What should happen is that there should be an organization to expose the boycotters, to tell people exactly who they are, what they're doing, what sponsors are giving into it.
Right.
You know, you guys may remember years ago, there was a big, fierce controversy over some corporations telling their employees not to say Merry Christmas. Remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I, your humble correspondent, turned that around by naming the corporations that were doing it. And as soon as I did that, those corporations stopped.
Back down.
People weren't going to Christmas shop in the stores.
Right.
So that's the way to do it. Unfortunately, I called a couple of conservative groups that handle pro bono law cases, and they were frightened to do it because they didn't want these groups to come after them. And they wouldn't do it. I'm not going to name them. That's not fair. But I tried to mobilize some of these crews and saying, look, you got to set up an arm to defend people under fire.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't do it because they didn't want these people to come after them.
Unbelievable.
It sure is.
It is. That's how powerful this is.
Yeah.
If you look at history, and you know I write the killing books and all that. If you look at history, all the totalitarian regimes have done this, have demonized groups and selected people for punishment, all of them.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening in America, and there's nobody doing anything about it.
Yeah, the road is long. I mean, you talk about voting with your eyes and with your remotes and don't watch the channels and don't do that. But when they have the money that they're getting from whatever sources they're getting it from, they can still stay alive and keep on the air. Whereas a number of conservative channels may have to go dark. And so it's a long battle.
The worst part about it is that the boycotters and the extorters and the people who are peddling false allegations are propped up by the very liberal media. So the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, NBC News, this kind of stuff props them up. There are no investigations into Media Matters or Move On or Color of Change. None of that. Mm-hmm. They're not looked at. Everybody knows this is happening. So where is the press exposing this kind of extortion? It's extortion when you go to Mercedes-Benz and say, if you don't pull your spot from the Fox News Channel or whatever radio program, then we're going to send out a email blast on Facebook or however they do it to 5 million people saying don't buy Mercedes cars. That's extortion. All right. Now, I've gone and talked to lawyers. You could make a RICO case against Media Matters. You could do that and file federal criminal charges.
That would be fantastic.
But again, who's going to do it?
Right. I don't know.
Nobody.
I mean,
apparently nobody.
Yeah, they're not evil enough in people's eyes overall, right? I mean, they're building those RICO cases against drug manufacturers. They're not going to do it against Media Matters.
In the social civil war, okay, the far left progressive movement is far more weaponry and is far more ruthless than the other side.
Yeah.
And now you're basically seeing people being destroyed before your eyes. Kavanaugh survived by one vote, Collins. And I saw her in California a couple of weeks ago, and she requested to speak to me. And I just said, Senator, I got to tell you, you saved that family. I mean, put everything else aside. You saved those people because of what was happening. She knew.
Mm-hmm.
She knew. All right, and so Americans are watching this spectacle, and again, you say, what can we, the regular people, do? Not much, other than walk away from the vehicles that are doing this.
And you have to be,
and that's happening.
You have to be willing to do that, though.
Yes, you do.
You have to be willing to walk away. And
when I saw Kamala Harris and Cory Booker declare for the presidency, I said to myself, there's no way on earth that I, as an American citizen, not a commentator, not a purveyor of BillO'Reilly.com, none of that, would vote for that kind of a person to lead this country.
Yeah.
I mean, you can scream about how bad Trump is or how good he is or whatever, but these people, in full view of the nation, basically said, blank you, Constitution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Blank you.
Well, it's good that you
I'm
have another.
This guy due process on anything.
It's good that you have another 21 or 22 candidates to pick from other than those two now, Bill.
Well, they're not going to, Kamala Harris got an outside chance to get the VP nod with Biden, but I think it's going to be this Stacey Abrams. But
yeah, she's mad about people talking about that, too. Because Kamala Harris was saying, her people were saying that it was embarrassing to think about her being the vice president to Joe Biden.
I don't even pay attention to those campaigns because they're not going anywhere. Except for Bill de Blasio. I know he's going to rock it up and be
right.
Absolutely.
I live in New York. I know how bad this guy is. My God.
It's amazing that he has the ego to think that he could actually I mean, what, did three people show up for him in Vegas when he appeared there recently?
A dozen, maybe. That's tops.
Unbelievable.
For De Blasio, it's all about the money. He gets to keep all the campaign funds that idiots might donate to him. That's what it's about. He's got nothing else to do. New York City's falling apart. Everybody hates him. Cops turn their back on him. I mean, it's really, really a disaster.
Yeah.
If you don't live in New York, say a prayer of thanks, all right? Because that city is falling apart. I live 20 miles away from Manhattan. It takes me in 1 hour and 45 minutes to drive, not in the rush hour, to get into that city. Everything is falling apart. Did you ever see that movie Escape from New York?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah. That's what it is. I mean, I saw Snake Plissken the other day in Times Square. I said, Snake, how you doing, man? How do you get out of here? Can you get me out of here?
All right, more with Bill O'Reilly. We've got to ask him about the president's speech on immigration yesterday and much more. Coming up in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We are all living in glass houses. And that is, if you're using Wi-Fi without Norton VPN. Because even if the Wi-Fi you're using is password protected, your every move could be exposed to cyber criminals and companies that will track and sell your information. Now, Norton Secure VPN is really easy to use. It's a virtual private network that protects your online privacy whether you're connected at home or the coffee shop. With Norton Secure VPN, your internet activity is totally encrypted so it cannot be seen or tracked. To get Norton Secure VPN, go to norton.com/VPN. It starts at about $3.33 a month with an annual subscription, and it is so well worth it. Shut out prying eyes with Norton Secure VPN from the cybersecurity experts at Norton. Keep what's private, private. Go to norton.com/VPN. That's norton.com/VPN. Terms apply.
Pat and Jeffrey for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program, talking with Bill O'Reilly. Bill, I want to get your thoughts on what the president had to say on immigration. But we were talking about, first of all, we were talking about Kavanaugh a few minutes ago and his nomination process. What are your thoughts on his rulings so far? And some people are already worried that he might be a bust for conservatives.
You know, I don't evaluate rulings like that on an ideological basis. Independent guy, and I look at how he bases his decisions on the law and the Constitution and what it says. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I don't know yet. When I saw the abortion thing in Alabama, I told my viewers last night on BillO'Reilly.com, I said, don't get excited, because I don't think the Supreme Court is going to uphold this law.
Well, I don't either.
Oh, no way.
I don't either.
Right. There's only one guy that would vote for it, and that's Clarence Thomas. So I think Kavanaugh wants to send a signal, like John Roberts does, that he's not in anybody's pocket.
I think so, too.
Whether that harms the nation down the road, we have to wait and see.
Yeah, this is a bold move for Alabama.
Yes.
And they're trying to force this issue with the Supreme Court.
It's payback.
Yeah.
It's payback from the idiot Virginia governor actually saying to the American public,
right,
you know, even after the baby's born, we might put it to death. And then Andrew Cuomo, a villain of unbelievable lengths, passing this law that says you can have an abortion at any time for any reason. Well, once the pro-life community saw those two things, they said, we'll get a little payback.
Agreed. Yeah.
All right? Yep. So we may now win.
Yep.
But we're going to humiliate them, and we're going to go in, and we're going to send a message.
It was time to fight back.
Mm-hmm. It's not really about abortion. That's what nobody understands. It's about states' rights. That's the argument that's going to be put forth. Not Roe v. Wade. They're not going to try to overthrow Roe v. Wade. They're going to try to say to the Supreme Court, look, each state has a right, based upon their population's desire, to regulate public health. You and the federal government do not have a right to impose public health on Alabama or Missouri or wherever. And that's in the Constitution. It's a local issue. Let us decide. That's how the argument's going to go down. But again, I don't think it's going to be successful.
Right.
Yeah, I don't either. I think you're right. The only one you could really count on to overturn Roe v. Wade, I think, is Clarence Thomas.
Yes.
I don't even know that Alito would.
You might be able to peel off Alito on the states' rights issue.
Yeah.
You might be able to do that.
But you're not getting Roberts.
You're not getting Roberts.
Yeah, right. So did you what were your thoughts on the president's unveiling of his new immigration plan yesterday?
It's all posturing. He knows it's not going to get through. You know, so there are two schools of thought here. You do it to send a message, and this is what you believe. I'm okay with that. But if you're telling the American people that there's a shred this will get passed, then you're misleading them. Nancy Pelosi is not going to allow that.
No.
Even if Trump were a little bit more moderate, which I would have been had I been president and faced with this issue, I would have said, we're going to do 50-50. We're going to do 50% humanitarian visas, and we're going to do 50% merit visas. That's what I would have done. So that you then become somebody who's not devoid of compassion, because that's what the tradition of America is. Take your downtrodden and you come here and then you reverse your life. The Trump administration doesn't have that philosophy in what they put forth. And that was a mistake. But none of this is going to come to fruition.
He seems to be trying to sort of even balance the scale, though,
yes,
with what he just did, because we've been doing it the other way for so long. He sort of, I think, went a little bit further than you might expect him to, just to sort of even out the playing field, maybe.
No, it's a campaign issue for him. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, he's got four pillars. I have a book coming up in September, The United States of Trump, where I explain how the president really sees America as a subtitle. I explain how he really sees America. First, I explain how he got there, which is only two people on earth could have done it, him and Oprah. I explain exactly how he got there. And then I explain exactly what his view of the country is. He doesn't really care about people in Honduras, and I'm not saying that as a pejorative. I mean, he just doesn't care. He knows that illegal immigration is one of the pillars of his administration.
Yeah,
going to run on four things, and that's one of them.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's part of his appeal, isn't it?
Because yes, it is.
Put America first. Put America and Americans first. And
absolutely.
That's what a lot of us expect.
He doesn't feel a moral obligation to heal the poverty in Central America and around the world.
Right.
He doesn't feel that moral obligation. He says, my moral obligation is to make sure Americans prosper first, and then we'll take a look at the others, but that'll never happen.
And it's Hondurans' job to take care of Hondurans. It's their leadership.
Yeah, but that's never going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No, if America thrives, though, then so will Honduras down the road. Right,
I mean, Honduras will never thrive. Nicaragua will never thrive. El Salvador will never
thrive.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
Well, the cultures are so corrupt.
Yeah.
All right. It's like Mexico. Mexico is never going to be the republic that the USA is because of the culture of corruption.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That they don't enforce corruption laws. Everybody's on the take. You can't run a country like that and think you're going to prosper. And that's how these countries operate.
Much more with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com coming up in just a minute here. Pat Gray and Jeff Fisher for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Pat Gray and Jeff Fisher for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program, talking to Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. Bill, there seems to be a lot of saber rattling going on between the U.S. and Iran, and a lot of people are concerned about an actual, either a proxy war or an actual war. Do you have some concerns there that actual war could break out with Iran?
I think there's maybe a 1 in 5 chance there'll be any military action there.
Still, though.
That's a decent chance, though.
Yeah, it would be Iran would have to make the play. So you got warships in the Persian Gulf. And you've got 500 troops or more, I guess, now in Iraq. And they would have to attack them in order for U.S. to get involved that way. I think the sanctions against Tehran are working. I mean, if I were Trump, I know what he's doing. You know, he wants to be the guy who sets the agenda for the world, not for just for the United States. And he knows that Iran is trying to cause trouble on a lot of fronts. So he's basically saying, telling them, you better knock it off. And if you don't, you're going to get hurt. So I'm kind of agnostic about this. I wouldn't provoke any military action. But if it comes, you know, it's not going to be good for Iran. That's for sure. I mean, they'll get hurt badly. But it also re-stimulate ISIS and Al-Qaeda and those people.
Yep.
Now, that's a downside.
Yeah. It's always a mess when it involves the Middle East and everything that's going on there.
No doubt about it.
It's always a mess. Speaking of which, I know you've spoken about tariffs before. What are your thoughts on the latest round of tariffs back and forth with China?
Well, it's another pillar of Trump's reelection campaign, along with the immigration, the economy.
Why does he love them so much? What is it about tariffs?
Well, I don't think he loves tariffs so much. He just basically knows there's a trade war with China. Yeah. So everybody knows there's a trade war, and it's been going on now for decades. But the American government has basically said, we don't really want to fight this war because our economy is, you know, chugging along. So we'll let them do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from the very beginning, from 1990, if you look at Trump, you know, again, I'm in a good perch to give you guys the facts on this case. If you go back and you look at Trump's public pronouncements about China, he started in 1990 saying the Chinese were hosing us economically. And they are.
And they are. Yes, they are.
People don't understand it. I'll let me put it in terms that even Glenn Beck could understand. Okay? All right. So say Bill O'Reilly makes a Band-Aid, and the Band-Aid not only stops the bleeding, but heals the cut in 2 hours.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. And it's a fabulous success in America. Everybody wants the Bill O'Reilly Band-Aid. Well, O'Reilly then looks over and goes, hey, there's 1.5 billion people in China. I want to sell some Band-Aids over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to get my product into the Chinese market, whereupon the government says, you know what? This product is unsafe. We're not going to allow it in. It's unsafe. They do that all the time to any American product that may threaten their domestic production of anything. Now, that everybody can understand, correct?
Yep.
That's been going on since JFK, all right, since 1960. Yep. And no president has confronted it. So Trump said, you know, I'm the macho man. I'm the tough guy. I'm going to do it. I'm going to break them. And we'll see if it's successful or not. But that's what's happening.
There's going to be a lot of pain in the meantime, though. I mean,
the
prices at Walmart are going up.
Well, so don't buy that.
Yeah.
I don't need any Chinese stuff. Do you need any Chinese stuff?
No, I like shopping. I shop at Walmart.
Some shrimp fried rice. I mean, that's all I need, and they make it in my town. I don't need it. I don't need a Chinese T-shirt or a hat.
A lot of Americans
do.
The Americans shop at Walmart.
Wait. Yeah. Why?
Well, because it's cheaper.
There's enough American made. So what? It's maybe 35 cents cheaper. You know, take a hit for your country. I mean, anybody needs anything from China.
Is that your new poster, take a hit for your country?
Yeah, come on. Why do we need this?
I like that.
And then on the farmer's stuff,
yeah.
I understand. But Trump is going to, you know, chuck money over to them. So, you know, if you're getting hurt and your products aren't moving the way they did, the federal government's going to come in and at least give you some kind of relief. As far as finances is concerned, this federal government under Donald Trump spending more money than any federal government in history.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
sure.
This guy's a spender. Trump's a spender.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I'm look.
Well, he believes in debt.
Yeah, the federal government, you don't want to be dependent on them. But I think they're going to help the people in the big industries that are getting hurt from the China tariffs. But the regular folks... I mean, I just don't understand what you need from China. I just don't get it.
So it sounds like you pretty much agree. You're kind of on board with the tariffs.
I think it's the only weapon we have in this Chinese economic war. And if they walk back, and I believe that's true, they did, their agreements were, what are you going to do? Just let them get away with all that stuff?
And hopefully it hurts them more than it hurts us.
But they don't care. See, that's a big difference.
That's the thing.
We actually care if our farmers get hurt.
Yeah, they
in China,
don't.
They don't care.
You're right.
You know, you don't like it, I'll shoot you in the head.
That's why
makes
it
a communist totalitarian regime.
That's what makes this war so hard to win, though.
That's
right.
Right. But what Trump's calculation is that he is going to squeeze them so that there's unrest in China, so that the 1.5 billion people start to get a little teed off, just like they're
true.
Getting teed off in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
That's the calculation, and Beijing doesn't want that. Because once the people start to get a little, hey, this isn't working out real well, then they got big problems over there.
Be interesting to see if that ever happens.
I don't know.
I don't know. That would take a long time.
It would take a long time. But remember, in China, there's out in the hinterlands, those people are not happy. They don't have electricity. They don't have anything to eat. I mean, this is not a happy place. You go to China, you know, the big cities are bustling. Everybody else is like, we don't really have much.
So who gets more pissed off first? Americans paying higher prices or the Chinese?
You don't know. It's a calculation. But I really don't think Americans are going to scream and yell about the tariffs.
Well, not with the new Bill O'Reilly plan. Hey, take a hit for your country.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see it. I mean, the worst thing that could happen would be that it throws the economy into a recession.
Yeah,
now, if the Trump people start to see that, Kudlow's a smart guy. Kudlow's really running the operation.
Yeah, he is.
He's a smart guy, and they're watching. But they're trying to squeeze him, and if Trump can get the deal he wants, then he feels he can be reelected.
Because
he's a guy that took on China.
But if recession kicks in, then
he's in trouble.
He's done.
Yeah, big time.
He's done.
I don't know about done because, you know, Biden is not, you know, he's not a guy like Barack Obama. Is a
no, he's not.
Yeah.
You know?
And I know that Donald Trump is, what, 72?
Yeah.
In his early 70s, but Biden and Sanders are all in their, you know, last half of 70s. That's going to show here soon.
That's already starting to show.
But Trump can take Biden in a debate. I mean,
I think so too.
Him.
Yeah. He can.
Because Biden's all over the place. And, you know, Biden doesn't think there's a China problem. And you're looking at him like going, what? So the far left doesn't like Biden. They don't want him. And African Americans, that's the reason that Trump won.
Very true.
800,000 African Americans didn't come out.
You say that, but those numbers for Joe Biden seem awful good.
Yeah, it's his. It's his. That's his crew. Okay. Well, who else are they going to pick? Beto? Beto, they live in El Paso, and he doesn't think there's a problem on the border.
Right.
I mean, you know, hello?
Yeah.
You know?
It's
take a walk.
It's a bad group.
it's
a bad group.
All of these people, and I don't say this with any ideology at all, Bernie Sanders, socialist, fine. But all of them are so weak when it comes to problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
They're so weak.
There's no fixing.
Right. All they would do is bring in this crazy theory that's never worked anywhere. Bernie Sanders knows he's not going to be president. He knows that his far-out socialistic view is never going to be accepted. But what else does he have to do? What else does Bernie Sanders have to do? He lives in Vermont. Have you ever been to Vermont?
It's a pretty state,
but all you can do is walk around. You go to Ben and Jerry's, you walk around. That's it. That's all Bernie has to do. This is fun. He gets on a private jet. He goes, oh, I'm a million billionaires. All right, it's fun. Plus, he gets a pack of dough. He gets all the money. He gets to keep all the campaign fund money.
I mean, that's really why they're all jumping in anyway, right? They all see a path to a bank account.
And that is a story that's unreported.
Right.
That all of these people are in it because they get money. All right?
Right.
Money. Bill de Blasio knows that no one, even his wife, will vote for him. No one will vote for him. He'll get no votes. Zero votes.
Not even his kids?
No. They don't like him. They don't want him. They live in New York City, too. They're going, can't you fix anything? Anything. Just fix anything. He can't. So it's all about money.
Yeah.
All right. Bill O'Reilly for BillO'Reilly.com. You got the book, United States of Trump, comes out when? September?
September 24th. And right now we want everybody to be nice to Dad and Granddad and get them the Killing series. Got 8 killing books out, including the latest one, Killing the SS, big bestseller, as you may know. And
you've had a couple of those.
Coming up, go on in. I'll sign them for your dad and granddad if you want.
Awesome.
Nice.
Got lots of good stuff.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for having me in, guys.
Talk to you next week.
Right.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. What's the problem?
I missed Big Bang Theory last night.
Oh no.
I mean, it's the show finale. Oh, the season finale show is over.
No.
Oh.
Don't say that.
I think the DVR
don't
is set,
say that.
Though. So maybe I catch
oh,
it tonight.
Oh, good. Whew.
Because
that was close.
I mean,
you did set the DVR on it?
I hope so.
Because, yeah, I missed it last night, too.
You did?
Yes.
Oh. Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm sick about missing it.
That's the number one show.
I know, and I've missed all of them so far.
Really?
And then I missed the last one.
You haven't seen one Big Bang Theory.
Not one second of one episode of Big Bang Theory.
They had 279 episodes.
Not seen any of them. No. No. I'm surprised.
12 seasons.
Wow. Is there really there that
12
many?
12 seasons. Yeah. The show's huge. It's been number one for years.
No way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the overnights are talking about a 12-2 maybe. Something like that. I mean, these numbers are huge. It'll be huge. The ratings for this
show. And I missed it.
I know.
Just like all the rest, the other 278 episodes.
I wish there was a way that I could send you my DVR copy.
I wish there was too, but there's not. So we'll just have to.
Actually, I do wish there was a way that I could send.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
The DVR copy shows.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I really want that to happen.
Speaking of shows that, well, this one hasn't debuted yet, but CBS has just announced that their upcoming Star Trek series with Patrick Stewart is going to be called, I guess it hadn't been named until now, Star Trek Picard.
Nice.
That's really cool.
Nice.
So, first of all, Patrick Stewart's coming back to Star Trek. Secondly, this is going to revolve around, you know, Captain Picard from the Next Generation.
Yeah.
It's what, 20 years? Since Next Generation was on? Probably more than 20 years. And this is going to be on CBS All Access.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
nice.
So I got to subscribe to CBS All Access in order to get the Star Trek Picard? That sucks.
We are all under app fatigue now, man.
I'm tired. Yeah, I can't do it.
We are app fatigued.
I can't do it. Well, basically because my wife won't let me subscribe to anything else.
What?
I mean,
aren't you the man of the house?
No.
I mean...
She is. She's the man
Step
and the woman
up.
Of the house. I know. You can pretend all you want, but we all know. We all know who runs the Fisher household as well, so don't even start with me.
Yeah, don't even start. I don't want those extra apps in my house.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
you don't want them.
I don't want them. It has nothing to do.
I don't want to subscribe to CBS Access. I don't want to.
I don't want to subscribe to
any
of them.
And I kind of don't, because it kind of hacks me off that they're asking for another monthly subscription fee. No.
And CBS
has been doing that for a while.
And CBS also does where their new shows. They on their regular network, they post them. And then if you want to watch them after, I think, 7 days, you got to subscribe.
Yeah, and everybody else, Fox, NBC, everybody else just makes them available.
Yeah.
You have to have them through your cable provider.
Right.
Which, you know, that's fine. And then CBS, all of a sudden,
we'll give them to your cable provider for just this really short period of time.
And what is their? I wonder what the fee is. A fee like $7, everything else.
Probably, I really
seven,
don't
eight
know
bucks
what CBS is charging
month.
For their app.
I mean,
that's easy enough to find out. I don't know what they're charging. It's probably that. It's probably $6 or $7.
I bet it is. And you know, you're already paying what? Netflix just went up. I think it's $13 or $14 for that every month. You're paying for Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, you're paying for that every month. If you have Hulu, you're paying for that every month.
Yeah.
Now you got CBS All Access. No, I'm sorry.
Some cities are starting to charge a streaming tax, so you can count on
Chicago
prices going up.
Yeah, Chicago's.
Well, Chicago is the first city that's actually collected. I mean, they're collecting streaming tax money now.
Wow.
They've collected money. I mean, so we are. You're close to other cities going, hey, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Just a little hint to cities. It's not. Okay, that's not a good idea. Unless you want to start a revolution.
It's not.
Don't start charging a streaming fee. Okay, not a good idea.
Thank you.
888-727-BECK. More Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program coming up.
The future.
fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat and Jeffy today, Glenn on vacation. 888-727-BECK. Wow. We got to tell you about this. This new college adversity board score. Yeah, I think you're going to love it. Because if you've had adversity, colleges are going to take that into consideration now when they admit you. So, and they should. We'll get into that in just 1 minute here on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is retired Lieutenant Colonel Jim Reese. I own and operate a disabled veteran business that is dedicated to protecting you and your loved ones here in the United States and abroad. During my years in the Delta Force, it was my passion to keep people safe. As a civilian, my passion continues. My team and I at TigerSwan built the most robust personal protection smartphone app available called Guardian Angel. TigerSwan's Guardian Angel is the only personal security device that immediately connects you to first responders 24 hours a day. God forbid you or a loved one were to find themselves in a dangerous situation in the U.S. or abroad. Simply press the SOS button inside of the Guardian Angel app on your smartphone, and in real time, the Guardian Angel dispatcher will locate you. The application's two-way video capability allows us to see your surroundings, and the geolocation capability allows us to send first responders to your exact location to physically rescue you if necessary. Visit the App Store today and download TigerSwan Guardian Angel.
All right, we are leveling the playing field, finally, for lower-income people who are trying to get into college. The College Board has, for several years, been testing an adversity index designed to place students' SAT scores in the context of their socioeconomic advantages or disadvantages. The system's been used by about 50 colleges and universities, and the College Board said they're going to expand to about 150 later this year, and it's going to be made available to all colleges by next year. The SAT's been criticized because, I guess, wealthy students earn higher scores on average than those who are middle class.
We got to have a little equality.
And they earn higher scores on average than low-income families. So we're going to even that out with some kind of formula that they've come up with that I guess takes care of everything that you might have grown up with and every disadvantage that you may have had. Among the factors that would go into the adversity index are their economic, the proportion of students at a school who are eligible for free or reduced lunch that reflect economic challenges like housing instability and educational status.
Right.
The percentage of students who go on to college score would be on a scale of up to 100. So if you've had advantages such as wealth, that's also going to be factored in, and you're going to be pushed down.
Against you.
And that's against you.
You want local crime rate, poverty rate, whether a student has a single parent, median income.
I mean, that is unbelievable.
Really unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. So if you've had a good life and, you know, what they consider, I guess, to be privileges, like you've grown up in an upscale neighborhood.
If you have if you come from a two-parent home. Huh, man.
Sorry, you're not getting into college.
You're not worthy.
That's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
It sure is.
So they're saying, I guess the College Board is admitting that the SAT is unfair. I don't know how that... If the score on your standardized test requires a separate algorithm to determine if the score is actually a valid measure of ability, then maybe it's time to fix the test itself rather than contextualize its scores. That's according to the branch director of Elite Prep San Francisco, and that's a group that gets kids ready to take the SAT.
Right.
And I think that's right. If there's a problem with the SAT, that it favors wealthy kids, fix the SAT.
Hello?
I don't, you know, I've seen the questions on the SAT. I don't understand how they don't seem to favor anybody over anyone else.
Okay, Mr. Privilege.
That's just,
okay.
Of course that is. You're right. That's my white privilege speaking right there.
Thank you.
I apologize. Wow.
I mean, that's the answer you get, right? I mean, they're already, I mean, Harvard is already facing a lawsuit because of the Asian American students claimed that they were held to higher admission standards to get into Harvard.
Well, Harvard admitted that they were trying to cut back on the number of Asian students getting in.
Which is, I just let the best students get in.
That's what I think, too. Yeah.
Who cares?
I know.
If it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't matter if they're Asian or white or black or Native American or
whatever.
Hispanic,
doesn't matter.
Whatever. If they're the best students, they should be in.
Thank you.
So if that's disproportionately Asian, well, I'm sorry, the Asians did better than you did, right? But that's not where we are anymore as a society.
No, it is not.
So it can't be that way. It's got to be, the playing field has to be leveled somehow. Wow. Or actually, it's being unleveled for the Asian kids now.
Right. And of course, the new adversity score is really titled the Environmental Context Dashboard. So I want to be clear. I want to be clear that we're calling
that's
it by the
official
right
name.
Name.
Okay. Yes. Okay. The Environmental
Context
Dashboard.
So it's important to call it by its real name.
All right. That is important. I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because I hate to call it the... What was I calling it? I don't even remember now.
Don't say it again.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with
it. I mean, it really is amazing that you're coming from some place that's supposed to be good.
Uh-huh.
Two-parent home.
Right.
Stable community.
Mm-hmm.
Working hard to get good grades, keeping your scores up, keeping your community standards
now
up.
All that's going to be weighted against you.
Right.
And there's going to be favoritism given to those who have come from single-parent homes, right, with high crime areas. They're going to try to get more of those kids into the school.
And didn't they used to
obviously.
Have, and I don't know that they if they do or not, didn't they used to have like when you apply, you have an essay? That you write where you're from and how bad your life was or how good your life was and why you want to go to school at this particular mm-hmm. school. Isn't mm-hmm. that supposed to be mm-hmm. part of what gives you that extra weight to come to this school?
Yeah, I think so.
They choose, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the best students should be the best students. Period. No little, okay, well, you go. And no, you're too good.
You're too good.
Go over here.
Sadly, we're just not a merit-based society anymore, and it can't be that way now. Just can't be that way now. Because diversity is the altar at which we worship. And so that's what we pay more attention to now. Rather right. than, you know, just whoever merits getting into the school, you get right. into the school. Nope, sorry. We're going to have to weight it against those who are getting into the school in higher numbers now. It's amazing. It's amazing. But there's a lot of amazing things going
on. Yes, there are.
We talked about this on the News and Why It Matters last night. The man who was arrived at the hospital in the emergency room with severe abdominal pain.
Yes.
And a nurse didn't really consider it an emergency because he was obese. And he'd stopped taking his blood pressure medicine. In reality, the man was pregnant. Yeah, and he was in labor and about to give birth. And they didn't realize it in time, and the baby was born stillborn.
That's sad.
To this man. So.
Well, one of the problems.
It's a tragic case.
One of the problems was that, and I don't know what has to happen to make it change, but he was still listed on all his medical papers as being a man.
Right.
Right.
Right. He is a man.
He had gone.
He is a man.
No, but he's a trans man. You forgot to mention that. He's a trans man. All right.
No, but he identifies as a man. And so he is a man, Jeffy, despite the fact that he's got female parts. Okay. And those female parts gave birth to a baby. So why would you even mention that?
I'm sorry.
Oh, by the way, I'm not really a man. I'm biologically a woman. I've got a hoo-ha.
But the paperwork didn't say that.
And I have a uterus inside of me. And there might be something in my uterus, maybe, that's causing me this pain. I don't know. don't you think that somebody has a responsibility to maybe alert the medical professionals that you're not actually a biological man? When you're in for treatment?
Yes, absolutely.
At a hospital?
Absolutely, but I didn't in the... And I, forgive me, I don't have the story in front of me, but I thought that he claimed that he told them.
He did claim.
That he told them, right? But all the paperwork that...
All the paperwork says,
says
he was
a man. Right.
Right. And then what's amazing...
I don't
amazing,
know what to do about it. I'm just...
I don't... Well, I mean, you've got to tell the truth. You've got to say, look, I'm biologically a woman, but I identify as a man.
You'd be a science denier then if you did that. If you did that to the medical community, you'd be a science denier. In our world.
In our world,
In our world, you would be.
Yes. So the New England Journal of Medicine, which at one point was a fairly prestigious publication.
When you say at one point, I thought it always, I thought it always was.
It's... Here's what they wrote. He was rightly classified as a man in the medical records and appears masculine. But that classification threw us off from considering his actual medical needs. So the New England Journal of Medicine didn't say, hey, let's pay attention to what they biologically and scientifically really are. No, it said...
For medical purposes.
Instead, for medical purposes, it says, hey, don't be fooled by the fact that it's a man. They might have some woman problems. Wait, what? No, you can't... He was not rightly identified as a man because he isn't a man. He's a woman, okay? This is absurd. And people are going to be killed because of it.
Oh, and have.
And the baby just died as a result of it. Can we stop this madness and get back to reality? Will that ever happen? I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know. It certainly seems like it would have to for health, right? Come on.
It's absurd. In the article, it says, moments later, the man delivered a stillborn baby. No. Moments later, the woman delivered a stillborn baby.
I don't know if I can work with you anymore.
Men.
Isn't the hate that you have right now.
Men. Can't get pregnant and can't deliver babies. Okay?
Are you the New England Journal of Medicine all of a sudden? I don't think so.
I have more credibility than the New England Journal of Medicine.
It is unbelievable. Right? We're supposed to just deny it.
Yes.
We're supposed to just deny it.
Just deny science. Just deny science.
And be, you know, it might be.
And biology. Sure,
things are a little different. That's all. Okay.
Just, hey, if a man shows up, just don't assume they've just got man problems. They might have women problems.
Right.
And vice versa. Well, no, that's madness. It's madness. But that's the kind of madness our society has slipped into. And I'm telling you, this is dangerous now. It's dangerous. A baby lost their life because of it. Because you're not being real with people.
Right.
You know, you can identify whatever you want. Go ahead. I don't care. You know, call yourself a lizard person if you want to. I don't care.
But when you go into
the hospital, they're going to need to know your actual biology.
Because they're going to start thinking, hey, well, what's wrong with the lizard?
Right.
I mean, they're going to say, we've got
a lizard here.
We've got to fix the lizard.
So
somebody call the zoo. We don't want that for you.
Right.
We don't want that for you.
We don't. 888-727-BECK.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hiring is really, really super challenging, especially if you're a small business owner or an entrepreneur. I don't have the time to focus on finding the best employees. Do you have that time? How do you find them? Well, there is one place you can go where hiring is really simple, fast, and smart. It's a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. And that place is ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. They have powerful matching technology that nobody else has. ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find the people with the right experience and then invite them to apply for your job. And as your applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes everyone and spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter, it is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BECK. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. Kamala Harris making fun of the people of the great state of Alabama because they did something she disagrees with. I'm sure a lot of people disagree with the Alabama law that they just passed, which essentially outlaws all abortion because they're trying to force the issue. We talked about this a little bit with Bill last hour. They're trying to force the issue to the U.S. Supreme Court. And it's interesting because I don't think they're going to win once it gets to the Supreme Court. They're counting on the fact that we've got a preponderance, supposedly, of right-leaning justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. When I don't think they're as right-leaning as maybe Alabama does. Certainly, Brett Kavanaugh's not. Certainly, John Roberts isn't. No. You're going to lose those two guys right off the top. And so you don't have the majority anymore, even if you get the other hardcore conservatives like Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito. So it's not going to go well when it gets to the Supreme Court. But here's what Kamala Harris had to say about the people of Alabama.
On this day where we saw what happened in Alabama, let us all agree that women's health care is under attack, and we will not stand for it. We will not stand for it. Supposed leaders have passed a law that would criminalize a physician for assisting a woman on something that she in consult with her physician, with her God, with her faith leader, has made a decision to do that. It's her body that you would criminalize and say for up to 99 years, which is a life sentence. And this is the same state and the same kind of people who also stand in the way of what women need in terms of a ban on pre-existing conditions to have access to issues like prenatal care.
What?
Like they need to check their hypocrisy.
You stand in the way of their prenatal care. What is that? Is that...
must be a Planned Parenthood,
about Planned Parenthood, who doesn't do prenatal care, by the way? Planned Parenthood doesn't do prenatal care.
No, but she just said
Kamala.
She just said they're standing in the way of it.
No, Planned Parenthood's standing in the way of Planned Parenthood's prenatal care because they don't offer any. They don't offer it. That's not what they do at Planned Parenthood. Call them and see. If you don't believe me, just go call your local Planned Parenthood and say, hey, I'd like to come in for a prenatal care.
Right.
Yeah. Well, for what, hon? prenatal care? Yeah, we don't do prenatal care here. Maybe you're tricked by the name, Planned Parenthood. Yeah, what we're really trying to do is stop you from becoming a parent. That's what Planned Parenthood
is. So thanks
all
for calling, hon.
Yeah. All right, Puddin'. Thanks. Bye-bye now.
Take care.
We've actually, there was the, I forget what group it was, but they called Planned Parenthoods all over the country, and then they put them all together.
Yeah.
And not a single one of them offered prenatal care. Not one of them. So, and they did say things
they'll
it's really confusing, isn't it, that we're Planned Parenthood and we don't do any.
They'll reference you to, hey, you can go here for it.
Sometimes they will guide you.
You know, you go down the street, make a left.
Right. But what Kamala Harris and everybody who loves and worships Planned Parenthood tries to do is that they try to make you think Planned Parenthood does all these wonderful health care sort of things for women. You can get your prenatal care there. You can get your mammograms there. You can't get any of that stuff at Planned Parenthood.
So what do they do at Planned Parenthood?
Well, they do abortions, Jeffy. They do abortions.
Is that it then?
No, they might try to prevent you from becoming pregnant by giving you some the birth control pills. They might do that too.
Okay.
So you got birth control pills and you got abortions.
Oh.
So yes, they eliminate babies is what they do at Planned Parenthood. Yeah, so they're good at
that.
Mm-hmm.
They do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand now.
Yeah. It's good. It's a wonderful place if you don't want children to exist. It's just they're really good at that. They're really good. We got Alyssa Milano on CNN talking about the abortion issue, and This is amazing.
I bet it's genius.
It's
genius.
You know it's going to be when it involves Alyssa Milano.
Because I'm bummed that I have not seen this already. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to love it. Here's Alyssa Milano on being pro-life. She's apparently pro-life here.
Yeah.
You have a lot of women who are pro-life and in favor of these bills. So it's not like all women are on the same page about this.
Well, I don't think there's a human on the planet that is not pro-life. Nobody wants to get an abortion.
What?
Nobody. We are all pro-life. But there are circumstances that we cannot avoid. There's the mother's health.
100% not true.
There's just not being ready, you know, and what that means financially and for someone's destiny. This is an economic issue. Just because there are women that don't believe in abortion, don't take away someone else's right. And I have to also say that this will affect the communities of color more than anything, okay? This is, I feel like any woman of privilege that lives in one of these states, if this goes
less
through,
babies of color will be born as a result
of this. Travel to a state to get a safe reproductive health care. But for the women of color, for the women that are marginalized, for the women that are low-income communities, the women that are most at risk, these bills are going to be catastrophic.
Shut up. We got to get into this.
Yes.
Unbelievable stuff from her. More coming up on the Glenn Beck Program. Pat Gray of Pat Gray Unleashed, which you can hear immediately preceding this program live, and then anytime you want on our podcast, which is available wherever podcasts are available. Then Jeff Fisher is also here, and you can hear him on, what's it called?
Why do you have such a tough time with this?
I mean, it's
chewing
overweight.
The fat.
No, that's what it is. Okay, that's right.
Chewing the fat. No, it's not.
It's not called.
It's not called. I'm overweight. No, it is not.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, we may discuss it from time to time on the podcast.
I think we have discussed it.
On yours, it most definitely.
Yes.
We have.
Yes, I think we. I think we've discussed.
There's no doubt about that, my friend.
All right. So we're here for Glenn anyway. 888-727-BECK. Let's talk to Rick in Missouri. Hey, Rick, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Hi, Pat and Jeffy. Thank you for putting me on.
Sure.
I was calling because of this SAT thing. Okay. I have a child. Okay. She grew up with a mother and a father. We made the conscious decisions and took the sacrifices to put her through a parochial grade school. First, we did early childhood education, parochial grade school, parochial high school, prep school for college, where she went and ended up with a PhD.
Nice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that first 12 years probably cost me, or us, I shouldn't say me, us, probably $125,000. Today, people aren't willing to make that sacrifice for their children. Now, our parents made those sacrifices for us.
Mm-hmm.
We make them for our children. But today, it's a thing of hooray for me and blank you, okay? It's ridiculous. And to have to reevaluate a system that has worked for years and years and years is, in my opinion, asinine.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Rick.
Yeah.
That's not what they said, though. I mean,
it's not.
That's not what they said.
They aren't going to be rating on that at all. They aren't going to be rating on that at all.
It is amazing how these colleges are bending over backward to change the rules here, to try to get people who don't score well enough into colleges where maybe they shouldn't be. If they get the scores, don't they have the opportunity to get into the best schools?
Not anymore. Right, you would hope so.
You're going to be penalized now if you came from a good family with advantages in your life. You're going to be penalized for that.
Yep.
It doesn't seem fair, and it doesn't.
And it's even more so now, though, right? I mean, this has been going on for a couple of years, but now it's even being broadened because of Operation Varsity Blues. You know, with all the stars and parents paying for their kids to get into these schools and make, you know, there's what 30 of them, but there's only 30 of them. But it's the end of time because people of means were paying for their kids, you know, bribing people to get their kids into school. So,
yeah,
you know, now this is it's a big important push.
Yeah. And those people who have done that are now considered to be the worst people.
Right.
On the face of this planet.
Ridiculous.
The way Lori Loughlin, yeah. The way she is being presented and treated now is like she is a mass murderer.
I know.
Okay, she paid $500,000 to get her girls into USC. All right, she probably shouldn't have done that. In fact, more than probably, she shouldn't have done that. But is it the worst thing in the history of the planet? No.
I don't think so.
No. I don't think so. But wow, you would think it is. You would think it is. She
sure would.
I mean, she has been... They're going to pay for that for a long time. For the rest of their lives.
I know.
You know, she already lost her career.
Yeah.
She got fired from her job. She was on... Is it a Hallmark? Hallmark show.
Well, she had a contract with Hallmark. I mean, she was creating a lot of content for them.
And they fired her immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately.
Zero to do with her. Have a nice day.
You talk about your day in court, and you talk about due process, like we were with Bill last hour. There's another example you didn't get due process.
You can still have due process. You just can't have it here on Hallmark Channel. Get out.
Right. Yeah. We don't know if you're guilty or not, but you've been accused. See ya.
Yep. We don't want that. We don't want you tied to us.
I mean, she was immediately fired.
Yeah.
Before anything's been proven. But bye-bye. She's gone. And the girls, her girls, are not at USC anymore.
No,
they left.
Not.
They left USC.
I think they're all the kids that were involved in Operation Varsity Blues were. I think they're all gone now. Right? I don't know that any of them went to.
They've either been kicked out or left on their own.
And I don't know that. I mean, some of the kids had been there for a couple of years and were doing the work, and that's all gone. The university's taken it away. I don't know that I agree with that. I mean, I know I guess it's, you know, fruit from the poisonous tree, but they've been in there for a couple of years doing the work. Maybe they ought to at least leave that on your record, right?
Yeah. No, because that's these are the worst people on earth, Jeffy, so no.
Okay.
No, that's not right.
I'm sorry, then. I apologize.
And they pretended to be on the rowing team.
Right. Well, they were all.
Don't even do that.
The guy, the Springer guy, he's the guy that should go down hard. And the coaches that were doing that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Those guys should go down. The parents are trying to do the best for their kids. I know. I get the SAT. They were faking the SAT scores or whatever. Would you have known? Seriously. Now, I'm not saying you would think that it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But would you have known that it would be illegal? Illegal. To
pay for
mess
to get
with
my kids
the SAT, yeah.
Oh, to mess with the SAT,
illegal. And of course, you know, maybe wrong. I get you.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be the right thing to do, but illegal. I don't know.
It's hard now because you know it is,
right?
So I don't know if I would have known before.
Because I don't. I mean, I'm in jail.
Obviously wrong, right? Because you don't want to cheat.
Of course, absolutely. Well,
yes.
A lot of people don't want to cheat.
Right. You've heard of people who don't
want to
cheat.
There are some people out there that think cheating is wrong. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I would have known it was illegal. So, I mean, to come down the hammer on these parents so hard like this, I don't know. I question it.
Yeah, when the story broke, I was like, okay.
In fact, I think we were here.
Yeah, I think we were. I think we were.
Because saying Operation Varsity Blues reminds me of...
the passion with which people were pissed about it. I mean, they now hate Lori Loughlin.
Oh, my gosh.
With all the intensity of a billion white-hot burning suns. And I just don't have that... I don't have that searing dislike
for
them.
The only thing I like is when Lori's walking into court for the first time and there's audio of some young girl hollering, Lori, 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 pay for my tuition! Lori, Lori, Lori! And all these kids are screaming for her to pay for their tuition. That's the funniest part of the whole thing.
That is funny. That's funny.
I know.
That's funny.
It's wrong to laugh.
I don't care who
it's
you are. That's just, but it's just funny. That's funny. She probably didn't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think she appreciated it at all.
And especially now, after she sees, okay, now she knows how egregious this was.
What a horrible thing it was.
She and her husband understand, I think. Only think so now, too. At the end, do they understand
right.
the power of what they've done.
They absolutely know that.
So, yeah, they know the power of the dark side now. Yeah. And I think we'd like to have that back. But, wow.
So, anyway, it was because of this, though. This is another thing that pushed this new SAT, you know, whatever the heck the name of it, whatever they're calling it now.
Yeah.
You know, to assist in the downtrodden. Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Just another thing to make it more fair.
Yes.
Because life isn't fair.
Right.
And
we've got to have that equality.
Yeah. And instead, we should be telling our little darlings, life isn't fair. It's not always fair.
Get okay? over it.
Move on. Move on. Try harder. Try something else. Move on. But we don't.
No.
We don't do it that way anymore.
And I know that our man from Missouri was talking about our parents sacrificed for us. And I went to public school. My parents didn't sacrifice. And I just wanted you to know, I want to be clear about that. My parents said the school's about 8 blocks away, and that's where you're walking to, my friend.
I don't know of a private school in the mean streets of Helena, Montana.
Well, no, they shut those down early, way before you left, my friend.
I don't think there is, or there was, a private school at that time.
I mean,
even if they wanted or had the money to sacrifice for me,
right.
I don't think there would have been an option there.
Yeah, no, my folks really know the school's over there. That's where you're going.
Yeah, right.
And you're walking.
And you're walking. Yes. I don't care if it's 3 miles. No, you're walking.
You're walking. But it's winter. I know. Put some boots on.
Here's your coat.
Yeah.
Get out.
That's no joke.
It isn't.
That's no joke.
No, that's the way it was.
I mean, it.
Back in our day, Jeffy, we had to walk to school uphill both ways. Over broken glass. When I got to school with no shoes on.
Tell you.
When I got to school, my feet were cut to shreds. My teacher made me soak them in rubbing alcohol, and I liked it, okay? I liked it. It's Pat and Jeffrey for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. I want to get back to this Alyssa Milano thing. Alyssa Milano on CNN last night with Chris Cuomo. Here's what she had to say. She, of course, is pro-life. This is fascinating.
100%.
Yeah.
You have a lot of women who are pro-life and in favor of these bills. So it's not like all women are on the same page about this.
Thank you.
Well, I don't think there's a human on the planet that is not pro-life. Nobody wants to get an abortion. Right. Nobody. We are all pro-life.
That is such a lie. That is such a lie. How many women have bragged about their abortions
lately?
Multiple. Many. Many. They're proud of their abortion. They love their abortion.
Yes.
They want you to know that they've had abortions. We've seen that over and over and over again. Don't tell me there's every human being on the planet is pro-life, because that's nothing could be further from the truth. All of these Planned Parenthood lovers seem to want abortion, and not just want it, but love it. It used to be that they would claim, no, we want it to be safe, legal, and rare. The rare part of that is completely out the window now. They don't care about rare because they love abortion. And the way they fight for this particular thing shows you that, yeah, they do want abortion. They want it. They like it. It's almost a religion to them now. It's like climate change. Climate change has become a religion to the left, and so has abortion. It's really strange.
It does seem that way.
It's very, very strange.
It does seem that way.
And why is anybody putting, you know, this was a great question by Shoshana Weissman. She tweeted out, why the hell is Alyssa Milano being put on TV as an expert on anything? Well, it's a great question. It's because she was on Who's the Boss? Is that what it was?
I think that was the first show. Yeah. Then she did Project Runway All-Stars as well. I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course, Project Runway All-Stars. I mean, obviously she was on Project Runway All-Stars. Alyssa Milano was on that?
I love that show, yeah.
Yeah, apparently you do.
I like that. Okay.
How long ago was that? When was she on Project
Not that long ago.
Runway
Not that long
All
ago.
Stars?
Not that long ago, really.
Was she walking? Was she a judge or was she on the
runway?
She was
like the MC, the host.
Oh, okay.
She was like the host.
All right. Of course, you knew about it because you've watched every show that's ever been broadcast. So good. All right. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
However, now
it appears that they're turning it back around, though, right? Or they're trying to turn it back around, that it's on us.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, we've got to find a way to stop that. That can't be.
Yeah, because at the end of what we cut it off before she got to this part, but she was talking about how it is discriminatory against minorities, that we don't want there to be abortions because that will greatly affect minorities, I guess, more than white. So she is turning it around on us. Now, all of a sudden, it's us that are the problem instead of Planned Parenthood, which was set up to kill minorities. When you think about it like that, when you think about why Margaret Sanger started Planned Parenthood, admitted that she started it to eliminate the black race, pretty amazing. You've got some real giblets to be claiming that we're the problem and that we're the ones who are discriminating against minorities when it was set up to kill minorities in the first place. And it is. It's doing a great job of that.
Yes, it is.
That's why Planned Parenthoods are very disproportionately in minority neighborhoods as opposed to white neighborhoods. You ever see a Planned Parenthood in the suburbs? Never.
Nope.
Never.
Not that I can think of.
And it's why in New York City, there have been years where more black babies have been aborted than born alive.
Think of that.
I mean, think of that.
That's...
Don't tell us we're the problem here. She is really hideous. But she was probably good on Project Runway All Stars.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Sure. I bet that was terrific to see her on that. That's really great.
Yeah.
All right.
Something.
Well, have a great weekend. We will see you back here on Monday, bright and early, on the Glenn Beck Program.